Now, there is something good going on tonight. The Yellow Jackets are doing something to help out the kids. Gary Parrish is involved with it as well from CBS Sports. He joins us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Gary, good morning. Appreciate the time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I appreciate you guys having me.
Now, before we talk about what Pastner just talked about, tell the folks what you got going on with the hashtag Fight for Literacy tonight.
Yeah, we'll focus on the good first, and then we'll get into everything else.
Yes.
If you watch tonight's game with Louisville, you'll see Josh and his staff wearing green ties and green lapel pins, and it's designed to bring attention to a foundation called Coaching for Literacy, which works with sports teams, players, businesses, fans, to generate awareness about the importance of literacy, because though this is wild to think about, it is true. 65% of American fourth graders are not reading on grade level. It's surprising that we're talking about the United States of America and more than half of our fourth graders don't read at grade level, but again, it's true. So Coaching for Literacy has these Fight for Literacy games to help raise awareness and by extension, money. And so if people want to learn more, they can go to coachingforliteracy.org or just text GT for Literacy to 71777. And whatever money is raised in connection with this game, and they have games like this all over the country with all sorts of different schools, it'll get reinvested in the Atlanta area through the Get Georgia Reading program. So when you donate and help, you're helping people in your own community. This money's not going to go back to LA or New York or Chicago. It's going to be spent right there in Atlanta to help children. So it's a pretty cool thing, and I know everybody involved does appreciate Josh and his staff being involved.
And that's happening tonight, Georgia Tech hosting Louisville at 8 o'clock right here on The Fan. Now let's get to what Josh Pastner just had to say. You've been around the guy for years. We have as well. Sometimes he just can't help himself.
That's the nicest way to put it. And I like Josh Pastner a lot. And I think he did a better job than most people give him credit for replacing John Calipari at Memphis. But one of the places where he did often get sideways with the fan base was he would say things that were, not rooted in reality. And I had never heard that clip that you had just played until you played it. Him suggesting that the ACC, even without Duke, Carolina, Syracuse, Virginia, Florida State, and Louisville, could be as good as the Big East or Big 12. Well, here's the truth. Like, we have numbers that show what leagues are the best and what aren't. And the ACC, even with all of those teams, right now, isn't as good as the Big 12 or the Big East. Even when it has Duke and North Carolina and Virginia and Louisville and Florida State and Syracuse, it's still the ACC right now, the fifth best league in the country, according to the computers, behind, yes, the Big 12 and the Big East. So I guess I say this as nicely as I can say it. I guess it's a thing you can say out loud that tries to shape the argument in a certain way, but the data doesn't support it at all. Even the ACC at full strength is not as good as two of the leagues that he said it would be as good as without, six of the best programs.
I'm going to say this as nicely as I can, because I'm not going to just say it's a Josh Pastner thing. You have to establish something if you're going to okey-doke me. Like, you can't try to okey-doke me without a resume that says I'm supposed to be okay with what it is you're saying. And that's for all of these guys. I just lose my mind a little bit when you go, I understand trying to win an argument. I understand what you're trying to do publicly, what you want the perception of you and your program to be. But you got to also understand that when you do that, somebody might point out what you just did, fact-based information, or I'm tired of it. Sometimes you just have to point out, I'm tired of it. I told Nick before you came on, Gary, I'm at the point where wake me up when I find out that one of these schools in the state, other than Georgia State, is playing on a Thursday in the NCAA tournament. Because until then, I'm finding it really hard to give six rips.
Yeah, you can shape facts in certain ways to make a compelling argument. So, like, if you're talking about Georgia Tech, this might be a fact. Two of their top five scorers have missed at least seven games this season. And if you had those guys healthy the entire time, maybe things would look different. Now, you might disagree with that. I think I probably disagree with that. But at least that's a fact you can point to and shape it in a certain way. You can't make up things that I can or you can Google search within 7 seconds and prove them to be untrue. And so I'm sure if Josh had an opportunity to take that back, or at least rein it in a little bit, he probably would. But given that you guys got audio of it, it's a soundbite that'll be unflattering every time it's played. Because, again, it's just made up. There's nothing to support it whatsoever.
Gary Parrish from CBS joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line, talking some college basketball with him. Are you surprised that Anthony Edwards at Georgia has disappeared like he has at times this year?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that you don't think a guy in contention to be the number one pick in the NBA draft would disappear as much as he's disappeared, been as inefficient in some situations as he's been. But this draft has forever been called weak relative to last season's draft and most drafts in general. And so, you know, if we can agree that Anthony Edwards or James Wiseman is going to be the number one pick in the 2020 NBA draft, and then we just take those two players and put them in last year's draft, neither of them go over Zion. Neither of them go before Ja Morant. I'm not sure. I don't think either one of them goes before R.J. Barrett. So when you're talking about the number one pick in this draft, you're talking about somebody who's like the number 4, 5, 6 pick in most drafts. And the 4, 5, 6 pick in most drafts is just a dude. And so here we are. It's sort of a statement on college basketball right now. There's a massive talent drain. Some of the best supposed freshmen aren't in school. And some of the guys that could be incredible veterans, you know, sophomores, juniors, seniors, they left school early, even if they weren't going to get drafted at all. And so what you look around and see is that there aren't very many great teams. And so when you ask why, the question is because there's just not that many great players. And even the greatest players, and Anthony Edwards, in terms of talent, is probably on that list. Even the great players aren't you know, nobody's Zion Williamson like we saw last season.
Hey, Gary, can we do a couple of big picture things? It's a worldwide game for the most part, correct?
Correct.
Okay, how come we can't find 10 guys in a given year who you look at and you go, I know those 10 can play in the NBA. You can't find 10. And I know the thing used to be 12 rounds, and then it was whatever it was, 7. We only do 2 for a reason now. Why is it or how is it possible that in a worldwide game, I can't find 10 names that I know at the end of draft night go, at least I know those 10 can play?
It's an interesting question. I think the most obvious answer is that they can play, but in the NBA, it is the best of the best in the world. There's maybe, you know, 15, 20, 25 of them, and they are so much better than everybody else that everybody else, comparatively speaking, looks like they can't play. And that's why in that league, I get so frustrated because I hear people all the time talk about fit and need. Like, well, you know, the Grizzlies already have Mike Conley, so they can't draft Steph Curry. You know, the Grizzlies already have – I say this because I live in Memphis, and the Grizzlies had the number 2 pick of the draft and could have taken Steph Curry, James Harden, and they took Hashim to beat because they thought that they needed a defensive-minded center because they already had their point guard. Well, the truth is what you need in the NBA isn't any interesting combination of players. You need stars. You need the best of the best. Like, if you've got Steph Curry and you also end up with James Harden, like, that's a good thing. You'll figure it out. And so I think the reason you can't in any draft find 10 guys that are going to be exceptional at the next level, it's because there's only a handful of people in the world that are exceptional at the next level. And everybody else becomes a role player on some level. So that's why if you can ever hit on a Trae Young, you take him. It doesn't matter if you already have a primary lead guard. If you think that guy is going to be special, you take him. Because the special players are the difference makers in the NBA. And the truth is, there's an incredible amount of very good, talented basketball players in this world. I think the number probably bigger than ever. But the number of difference makers is much smaller. And in the draft, we're always looking for difference
makers. And the college game suffers because we said it, at least in the Final Four in football, there were stars. They felt like there was, oh, that guy and that guy. There are no stars in college
basketball. Coach K said it here in town. Who's in charge? How do we get it back? Can college basketball get back some of that magic, Gary?
The only way to do it, and I shouldn't say only way because that boxes me in pretty strictly, but the most obvious way to do it is they've got to loosen their grip on the concept of amateurism, because the truth is I talk to these elite prospects before they even get to college, you know, every year, whether it's at Peach Jam or any other grassroots event, a USA basketball event, and I'm just telling you, they don't grow up dreaming of playing on Big Monday anymore. They don't grow up dreaming of going to the Final Four. They grow up dreaming of playing in the NBA, And if college basketball is something they have to do between where they're at and where they want to be, then sure, they'll do it. But they don't have any real passion for it. And now you see James Wiseman just quit his team the week before Christmas to focus on the NBA draft. LaMelo Ball never come to college. RJ Hampton never come to college. When you combine that fact that some of the best high school seniors are deciding not to be college basketball players with this other fact that we're losing more underclassmen than ever, because it used to be 15 years ago, if you were a first-round pick, you would go, but everybody else would largely come back to school. Then it became clear, even if you're a second-round pick, you're probably going to end up with an NBA contract, so might as well go. And now, if you're a top 90 prospect in America, you're probably entering the NBA draft, and when you don't get picked, signing a G League contract or going overseas or an Exhibit 10 or something, there are more professional opportunities for basketball players in this country and elsewhere than ever before. And so when you're taking marginal NBA prospects who could come back to school out of school, and you're not getting some of the elite high school prospects, you look up around the country and there's just not that many good players. I think it was Mike Krzyzewski who said a few weeks ago, the reason there aren't great teams is because there aren't a lot of great players in college basketball. And that's undeniably true. And it's going to be even more obvious in the NCAA tournament, because when I went and looked at my mock draft from a couple of weeks ago, 14 players in the lottery. At this moment, only three of the first 14 picks in the draft, by my projections, are going to be in the NCAA tournament. We're not going to have Anthony Edwards. We're not going to have James Wiseman, LaMelo Ball, RJ Hampton, the two kids at Washington. You're going to watch that NCAA tournament, and you're going to wonder where all the great players are. And the truth is, they're just going to be somewhere other than in that bracket.
All right, Gary Parrish of CBSSports.com joins us right now, at Gary Parrish CBS, if you want to follow him on social media. Two quick ones, and maybe it's not fair to ask quickly, is I keep hearing AAU basketball, the idea that you play three games and nobody really cares if you win or lose. It's just getting in front of the right people, getting up at your sneakers. And is AAU basketball part of the problem? Just quick yes or no.
I think it's probably it contributes, but there's just as many good things with grassroots basketball as there are bad.
But I'm saying, is it problematic where nobody really is bothered by losing because you play so many games in that world that nobody cares if you win or lose?
Well, it is a point I've heard many college coaches make, John Calipari included, especially when you are relying mostly on first-year players who've never felt the pressure of a college basketball season. They've been their whole lives playing games, and if you lose, so what? You got another one in 4 hours. But when you get into the ACC or SEC, when you lose, the losing matters much more, even if they don't realize it in real time.
Let's just call it a sneaker thing, that sneaker problem. Is there going to be a head on a stick when all is said and done, if there isn't all is said and done?
Doesn't look like it. I mean, they promised it 2 years ago when they announced all of these indictments and we got your playbook. We know what you're doing. If you've done something wrong, you better turn yourself in. And you fast forward to February 12th, 2020, and literally the only head coach who's lost his job is Rick Pitino. And Rick Pitino is one of the coaches who wasn't involved in any sort of indictment at all. So they overpromised, underdelivered. And if you look up right now, you know, Sean Miller still coaching, going to be in the NCAA tournament. Bruce Pearl still coaching, going to be in the NCAA tournament. Bill Self still coaching, going to be in the NCAA tournament. Nothing's really changed.
All right, Gary, we started with positive news. Let's end it again. Tell the folks one more time what's going on tonight.
Yeah, you'll see Josh Pastner and his staff wearing green ties, green lapel pins, designed to bring attention to coaching for literacy. And so people want to learn more, and I'd really encourage you to do so because it's an important thing in this country. You can go to Coaching for Literacy. That's coachingforliteracy.org.
All right, Gary, thanks for the time. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Bye. Thanks, Gary.
Gary Parrish, CBS. At Gary Parrish is where you can follow him, at Gary Parrish, CBS, to be exact, on Twitter, joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker Line.